Hello, folks. Welcome to the SolarFit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher back with you again on this beautiful day and here in the Sunshine State. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Daytona Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram for their loyal support through the years, particularly to our driver, Mr. Daniel Dye, who's competing full-time at this next year in the Xfinity Series, driving for Colic Racing in the number 10 Chevrolet. We cannot wait to see him. He's starting his first race with them on February 15th, Daytona Beach. Please, if you can't come here, tune in on CW or MRN, and you're going to have a great time. Let's cheer Daniel to a podium finish. He's carrying the Race to Stop Suicide colors across America for a cause that we all are very, very passionate about. You know, we talk about renewable energy, sustainability, healthy lifestyles, and nothing can be more important and timely as the two guests that we have with us today. We've got Jeff Winton, who's the founder and CEO of the nonprofit Rural Minds, and Nikki Schaefer, Director of Occupational Health and Wellness with Pfizer. Jeff and Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be
Thanks,
here.
Thanks, Bill.
Well, you know, before we start, we always give a little bit of history about our guests. Nikki, start us out. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I am a nurse practitioner by trade. In addition to my work caring for Pfizer's employees around the world, I also continue to practice in a local family practice in rural Pennsylvania.
Gosh darn awesome. Jeff, how about you?
Well, I am talking to you from my family's dairy farm in upstate New York on the shores of beautiful Lake Erie. I come from a long line of farmers, and hence the reason Rural Minds is so incredibly personal to me. And I am just delighted to be here, and so appreciate you sharing this with your listeners today.
Jeff, I thought I'd recognize your dialect. I'm from the Adirondacks, so you
okay.
Kind of talk to me. You know, I started this radio program, I think, 16 years ago, and the owner of the station said, you need to do your own show. You kind of talk funny. So, no offense, but here we are, right?
Yep.
Anyway.
I wear it like a badge of honor, so thank you.
Me too. They call us woodchucks for a reason, for sure. Well, anyway, nothing could be more timely than what we're talking about here, folks. We're coming into the holiday season, and I don't know. I think just about everybody's experienced some level of anxiety. But Nikki, let me start with you a little bit. I mean, as a director of occupational health and wellness at Pfizer, I mean, there are so many. We could talk for 2 hours about this subject, okay? But bring us into where we are now with the holidays coming up. What should we be concerned about?
Absolutely, Bill. This is a time of year that can be both joyful and stressful to many people. And those that are challenged and suffer with mental health, anxiety, depression on a daily basis, it just gets amplified during the holidays. And a lot of times that extra stress is brought on in the form of financial strain, sometimes social overstimulation from needing to go to many social engagements, parties, etc. And in other cases, it can be social isolation for those that don't have a lot of family or folks near to them. And then there are just the other needs and expectations that people place upon themselves. And when you put all of that together, it just becomes the perfect storm for a lot of mental health unnecessary or unmet needs that are just exacerbated and hard to get a hold of.
Well, well said and right on point. Jeff, what can you say about that?
Well, again, being a product of rural America, and if you grew up in the Adirondacks, this will sound very familiar to you. We have a lot of unmet needs in rural areas with healthcare in general. We don't have nearly the providers. Many people in rural America are uninsured or underinsured. I'm sure this is a statistic that you know well, but in the state of Florida alone, 13% of the people in the state are uninsured. And so if a person has another type of a health condition, such as diabetes, and they're already paying for that medicine out of pocket, they more than likely won't have the resources to also pay for an antidepressant, for example. So the availability of not only care, but also the medical intervention that might be needed is something that we always try to shine a light on. The other thing is just the stigma itself that exists in rural areas, because people that grow up like I did in a rural area are taught to be very independent, are taught to be self-sufficient, are taught not to talk about their problems, especially mental health, and to pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. What we've got to start doing is treating mental illness and substance use disorder like the illnesses they are. They are every much an illness like diabetes and heart disease and cancer. But yet our society, especially rural societies, do not necessarily look at them in the same light as some of the other physical ailments that people live with.
And Jeff, when you talk about that, it just amplifies even further those additional holiday pressures when we can't feel comfortable talking about mental health or our mental health needs. Now you add the additional expectations, perceived expectations and stressors of the holidays, and it can really result in some pretty sad and unhealthy situations for people.
Man, absolutely. You know, something that we talk about, you know, frequently since we're involved in the Race to Stop Suicide and also the March to Stop Suicide, which we can discuss briefly here in a minute, but it's the stigma. You know, years ago, and we're all old enough to remember, where no one talked at all about breast cancer. It just was not mentioned.
Right.
And now it's become so mainstream that everyone wears their pink ribbon, and it's just, that's where we need to come with a suicide issue or mental illness entirely. It can't be something that we just, Jeff, and I'm just like you, man. I like somebody tell us, say, I want to take you down the Hudson River. I'd say, no, get out of the way. I'm getting rolled myself. we're that bullheaded nature of, you know, but inside it's not like that inside, but we can't show it. We've got this hardness built in, don't you think?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And in fact, that was the case in my nephew's life, where he didn't feel comfortable talking about suicide or about mental illness or anything he was facing. And as a result, he died by suicide, and the family had no idea that he was struggling. But he was a big, strapping, macho farmer who had 3-year-old twins and just thought that he could fight this on his own. And sadly and tragically, he couldn't, and hence the reason that Rural Minds was founded, again, in his honor and his memory. The other thing, in small towns, everyone knows everyone's business. So even if there is a mental health provider in a rural area, many people are very hesitant to go there because they don't want their neighbors seeing them going inside to get help for their depression or for their anxiety or for their PTSD. And again, it gets back to the stigma. But again, one of the best things about life in a small town like where I live is that everybody is there for you. If you face a tragedy like my family did when my nephew died, everybody gathers around and the news travels fast. But if you're dealing with something that you're ashamed of, which you shouldn't be, by the way, but many people are, such as mental illness, they know that that news is going to travel fast as well. So it's really a double-edged sword.
Well, I'm so sorry, Jeff, to hear about your nephew. I think most of us have been touched by this. I know that I have had a good friend, same situation, no rhyme or reason. We just didn't recognize it, where we could, you know, pick up and try to help them. But and you touched on, Nikki, some really key things too. It could be financial strain. You know, we're coming up to the holidays and everybody, you know, wants to give a gift and maybe they don't have the resource to give a gift and they're feeling guilty. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So it's setting what those expectations should look like. Sometimes we have higher expectations among ourselves and upon ourselves than we would for anybody else. And so how do you even talk about what gifts to give and not give? And there are ways to have those conversations, but sometimes, again, you feel very vulnerable that everybody else can afford a gift or everybody else is giving a gift and you don't want to be that vulnerable. So looking for ways to create situations that are meaningful, where it doesn't have to focus on the gift. It focuses on how to spend time together, looking for ways where it's just as meaningful, if not more meaningful, than the action of providing a gift. It's not easy, but again, it's one of those, if you can have that conversation and look for ways out of it, maybe it's an area within your family that you talk about doing a gift exchange or a way that it's only buying for one person if you still feel the need to be able to purchase a gift.
Yeah, very good. You know, something else that I've been thinking about now for about the last 4 years is the social isolation and loneliness. When this whole COVID mess came about and there was a lockdown and the kids were in the basement and social media, talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So social media can be positive for some and detrimental to others, where people's lives look like a perfect picture. So to those that are struggling, what they see on their screens looks like everybody else's life is perfect. But often, as many of us know, that is the Hollywood view of people's lives. But on a flip side, there are folks that find that social media is a way of connection. So it can be positive, it can be negative. It's just a matter of knowing which trigger that is for you. But that social isolation and loneliness often goes beyond not being able to be with someone or see someone. Sometimes we can be very socially isolated or lonely, even though we're surrounded by people. Sometimes it's more about those relationships that we have. We may have strained relationships within our family, but for some reason, everybody feels the need to get together at the holidays. And it can be extremely stressful, but also very lonely, and making it more evident that those relationships are not there. So how to limit the exposure in those situations. And even with social media, if you want to still view social media, how do you limit your amount of time? How do you set boundaries? And this goes to that part of self-care, where it's so important to set boundaries for yourself to do what is in the best interest of your own health, regardless of the fact that it may upset others. You still have to take care of yourself first and foremost.
Yeah, amen to that. Jeff, this question is for you because of where we grew up. People used to come up to me and ask me, what do you do in the summer? And I say, well, if it falls on a weekend, we have a picnic because it's always cold and snow, right? So the question the question is, when you go to places like Alaska, man, I'm beautiful in the summer. They've got vegetables the size of your body, right? Because there's 24 hours of sunlight. But in the winter, it is different. And it's one of the highest alcoholic rates in the world. Talk about that a little bit. Isn't that something that we try to self-medicate to overcome some of these stresses?
Absolutely. It's a growing issue in rural parts of this country. We are a national organization. We just happen to be based here at my dairy farm in upstate New York, but we do work nationally. And talking to people, as you mentioned, from Alaska, talking to people from Montana, the Dakotas, some of these big Western states where not only are they feeling isolated because they don't have any neighbors nearby, but they may have to drive hours to get to the closest healthcare provider. One thing that I wanted to mention coming on the heels of Nikki's excellent comments was the whole broadband issue we have in rural America. The fact remains 30% of the counties in rural America have no broadband service at all. So there are many people in this country that don't even have access to telemedicine, like a lot of us became accustomed to when COVID hit. But you're absolutely right about the prevalence of substance use disorder, especially alcohol, coming on the heels of COVID. And it's something that a number of organizations, including Rural Minds, is very focused on in this era that we're living in. People in rural America already have limited outlets for social interaction. I'm looking out the windows of the farmhouse where we farm. I have no neighbors at all. During the nice weather, I can see the cows at least when they're out on pasture, but I don't see another house anywhere surrounding our farm. And there are times that that can be very cathartic and very therapeutic, but there are other times that I would love nothing more than to walk next door to a neighbor and say, you know what, Ann, I'm having a hard time. Can you join me for a cup of coffee? I need someone to talk to. We just don't have that ability in many of these rural areas.
Yeah, for sure. Well, gosh, I cannot believe.
Bill, something else that you said, Bill, about the darkness. And I just want to touch on that a moment, because it's something that we don't always talk about when it comes to mental health. We talk about cold winters. We talk about, changes in the timing, et cetera, and isolation that happens just by virtue of not having a lot of neighbors. But your comment about Alaska also made me think about the no sunlight. The days shortening. The real fact that seasonal affective disorder is real and that sunshine is very therapeutic. So it is important to, as often as able, in parts where we still have sunlight, unlike the months where there is no light in Alaska and certain other parts, how do you get outside and get a little bit of that sunlight? Or you may actually need to purchase a light for light therapy. It's very real. And for years, we didn't think that it was so real, but it is. And the importance of vitamin D and just being able to have light. I know even for myself, I don't feel like getting out of bed on days where it's super cloudy and dark and dismal all day long. So those that have any mental health disorders, it becomes even more of a challenge because it's gloomy and it's a more negative feeling day than when the sun is shining. So looking for ways to also self-help with light therapy if needed. Again, especially for those times when daylight is short.
Yeah, man, that's excellent, Nikki. Well, we're up against the break, folks. Please stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk more about mental health and how you can have a wonderful holiday season and the rest of your life. Stay with us. We're right back. Man, you guys are awesome. You blew right through that 14 minutes.
The time went fast. You're a good
We could talk about this for about an hour and a half, really. We haven't even touched half of the stuff. What is most important to you? Because right now we've got about 10 minutes left. What would you like to talk about?
Well, from my standpoint, Bill, what's very important is to make sure that people understand that while there is inequity in rural areas, there are many ways to seek help. And so I think at the end of the show, I'm hoping that people will have a better understanding and appreciation for some of the unique challenges that we face in small town America, but also know that they may have to get a little more creative, but that there are services and resources if they admit they have an issue and will readily seek out help.
No, that is
and I would
good.
Agree.
Okay.
Just focusing on some of these other help opportunities, the how to create your social network, the prioritizing of self-care, managing stressors, et cetera. And Jeff's got the great resources to connect people to. So, you know, usually if we can finish out with him, I think that's fabulous, Bill, okay. Because he's got like the phone numbers and everything.
Okay. So we've got about 10 minutes left, and I'll just, when we get closer or something, I might, if I jump in there, don't get mad at me.
Okay. No problem at all.
Well, my producer, Kathy, Nikki and I could talk forever on this topic.
So. Well,
we can.
I could too. That's the issue. I could too. I mean, this is, maybe we can do another session, because this is like, it is not a important thing. It's the important thing right now, really.
Yeah. We'd love it. You just let us know.
Okay. All right. Ready to go again?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. I hope that you caught the first part, the first segment. It was incredible. It was incredibly important. We've got with us Mr. Jeff Winton, founder and CEO of the nonprofit Rural Minds, and Nikki Schaefer, director of Occupational Health and Wellness Advisor. And Jeff and Nikki, welcome back. Man, I'll tell you, this is such an important topic. I really, really appreciate you guys coming on. Of course, I've got 1,000 questions. I've been accused of having questions. One of the things that happens to me, if I have a bad day, right, and I'm feeling a little bit down, which doesn't happen very often, but there's one thing that I turn to, and no, it's not Jameson whiskey. It is exercise, okay? It is physical exercise. So I get on my bike, and I go maybe an hour and a half, something like that. And man, when I get off, the endorphins, it's cured me. Talk a little bit about the benefit of exercise.
Absolutely. So there are definite scientific studies that have been done to show the value of those endorphins. Those endorphins do, they're the happy juice in our bodies, and really can raise our whole view of the day, how we are feeling, but it also helps to get rid of those stressors. You can crank it out, Jeff, Bill, or if somebody's a walker, or just any type of activity. Sometimes it can be housework, it can be washing dishes, whatever you can do to physically exert yourself just really gets rid of that stressful energy and really does help to relax you and make you feel better. So there's a lot of good benefit to that physical activity, and we don't have to be out there running marathons to feel better. Like I said, it could be housework, it could be gardening, walking, any type of physical activity. And it also goes hand in hand with connecting with nature. If you're able to go outside, and even if it's just 10 minutes, sunshine on your face or breathing in fresh air, change of scenery can be very helpful. And what I connect that with is when you are outside or you've changed your area that you were just in, you've changed your view, find and recognize different things that you're seeing or hearing. And it really helps to focus our mind and takes our mind into a calmer place. So one of the techniques is like identifying 5 things around you. When I'm outside, I like to listen for the birds. I like to, what smell do I have? And again, I live in a rural area. The smell is often the farm local to me that I'm smelling. So not necessarily the most pleasant smell, but I know what I'm smelling. Or the little town that's near me, they make chocolate. So I can go and smell chocolate. But it's what are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? And if you can ask yourself those couple questions and really stay calm and focused on those, it is something that is so powerful in helping to calm you down.
God, what a great thing. You know, here's a question for you. You know, people say, I'm not a morning person. And it's always bugged me. I don't know why. I guess because I am a morning person. My mother told me years ago, the best time of the day is in the morning because no one's there to bug you, right? But is there such a thing as a morning person?
Well, I'm going to give you my take on it. As a dairy farmer, you have no choice, because the cows have to be milked starting at 5 a.m. in the morning. So that question can be answered differently depending on what the occupation is among people in rural areas. But I do know that a lot of the people that we advocate for, the 46 million people in rural America are morning people because that is just how they were raised. I certainly, when I was a little boy growing up on my family farm, we got up when we were old enough to walk to help take care of the baby calves. That's how you start. So people in rural America tend to be up earlier. And, you know, unfortunately, they work a lot later, too, especially certain times of year when you're putting in crops. You could be out in the fields until it's very dark, even with the lights on your combine or your tractor. But I think that, you know, certainly they are looked upon as some of the most productive hours on a farm, where people can, you know, self-reflect and, you know, you're not being bombarded with all the noise surrounding you. And many farmers, even though they complain about getting up so early in the morning, really cherish those early morning hours.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it makes me also think about what are the things that you can think about that bring you joy. And is it seeing the sunrise? So how do you make the most of those situations? What is it that brings you comfort and joy? And how can you prioritize that and keep that in your thoughts, whether it's to help reduce stress or help you in that grateful moment? So it's the gratitude, and it can help you through the holidays as well, or help you through those downtimes.
Yeah, that's something. It's really funny, Jeff, you say that. I agree to a certain extent, but my brother and I are completely different. When I moved to Daytona Beach, Florida, to go to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, right, we would stay in the same, you know, room and stuff like this, right? Because we obviously didn't have any money or anything like that. But he would watch Johnny Carson every night, and it made me so mad, because I'd be up at 5 o'clock in the morning and he's up there. But I mean, what's wrong with this guy? But even to this day, he didn't like get up early. But I can't wait to. I wake up in the middle of the night hoping it's dawn comes soon, you know?
Bill, I'm the same way. It's the same way in my household. I am the early morning riser, and my husband would stay up until all hours of the night. And yes, it creates some challenges in the household, but I love the quiet peacefulness of the morning, of being up before everybody else's. And my newfound ritual over the past couple years, I always start my day with a cup of tea, and I know lots of people have their coffee. I'm the cup of tea person. And my dog and cat have also realized that that is my ritual. And so I will have the cat on my lap, the dog on my feet, having my cup of tea every morning, to the point now I actually set my alarm a good half hour ahead of when I actually need to get up, so that I can have that ritual and start all of our days on a calm, peaceful note.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I'm glad I'm not the only one. You know, do you ever get up early to drive to the airport to realize there's no other cars on the road? But doesn't that feel good? It's like, oh, man, come on. Hey, Jeff, one more thing about the rural thing. What city, what town are you from?
I am in a small town of 1,500 people called Mayville, New York. It's the capital of Chautauqua County. Again, we're right on Lake Erie in the snow belt. As a matter of fact, we're expecting a major snowstorm, a lake effect snowstorm this weekend, right after Thanksgiving.
Well, you think that's bad? We're expecting 78 degrees tomorrow. This is crazy. Yeah.
That's why there's so many snowbirds from this area that come down to Florida in the wintertime, including my late parents. They did that after they retired from the farm. They went down to Citrus County every winter to get away from the winter weather up here.
Well, I'm trying to put up a barrier to keep them out, because I'm afraid Florida's going to tip over and go into the ocean. So many people. Well, Jeff, in the business that you're in rural mines, talk about that a little bit. Now, we only got about 2 minutes left, but tell us that. And also, before we end it, we have to tell people the emotional distress hotline number, too, please.
Yeah, certainly, Bill. Well, thank you for asking. So Rural Mines, again, was founded 3 years ago as a result of the tragedy that occurred with my nephew's suicide here near our family farm. And So we have spent the last 3 years really developing partnerships with a number of companies and organizations, including our good friends like Nikki at Pfizer, to help spread the word of help and hope. Even though there is inadequate healthcare in rural areas, there is hope, there are services available, but first you have to admit that you have an issue. And then second, you need to be willing to go and seek help for that. Our website, ruralminds.org, has an abundance of very helpful information. Some of it is material that we've developed on our team, but a lot of it are materials that we have aggregated from other organizations that we wanted to get in the hands of the 46 million people in rural America. The help number that you referenced is extremely important, and I am so glad you asked about that. 2 years ago, the U.S. government launched the number 988, and a person can either call or text that number day or night, 24 hours a day, during your time of great need, and reach a trained mental health counselor who can help you or your loved one who may be in crisis get through that particular period of time. It's a free service. It's completely anonymous, so you don't have to worry about anyone else finding out about this. And the real beauty, besides the obvious benefit of helping a person get through their time of crisis, is the fact that after the call is over, that counselor will help connect you with local resources that can help you continue on your journey of recovery from whatever you might be dealing with.
And Jeff, that is awesome. We're going to have to call it a day here, folks. We're up against the time. Thank you, Mr. Jeff. Thank you, Nikki, for coming on. You guys are awesome, and thank you for what you're doing. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bill. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll sign off for now. Yeah, don't eat too much turkey. Be happy out there. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.